Today we have a special speaker, another friend of mine, and it's good to have David here. David is an old-timer around this church, and his specialty for a number of years was working with the Social Security Administration. So if you're all unhappy about your payments, talk to David. No. But he helped a lot of people when he was over there. And he retired from that position a number of years ago and worked for how many years? 10 years? Or, 26 years after that? No. Yeah, he worked as a consultant for corporations and the government all over the country, helping people who were preparing to retire. And so he just retired himself, so hopefully he knew a little bit about it. And if he didn't, shame on him. But anyway, David's going to come up and talk to us about some needs and some interesting facts that we all need to be concerned about. And if you're not, you will be when he's done. Okay, David, come on up.
Thank you, Roger. Good morning, folks. As Roger said, I started my career out in 1966 working for the Social Security Administration. I worked in 9 different offices through the Midwest and ended up in the Dayton office as assistant manager and retired early after 26 years with the government and been working in various senior citizens type programs for the last 19 years. I retired myself, closed my business in December 2006, so I've been practicing what you folks have been doing. Definitions are senior citizen. This one, no, I don't think anybody might meet this one. Middle age. What's middle age? That's somebody 40 to 60. So we eliminated a lot of you. Nearly elderly. Nearly elderly are people 55 to 65. Now we've got a couple in the room who might meet that. Elderly. Somebody who's past middle age and approaching old age. That means somebody over 65. And unfortunately, I meet that. Roger and I are the same age. Another term often used for senior citizens are whoopies, W-O-O-P-I-E-S. We call you whoopies. Well, telemarketer people call you whoopies because they call you at home, try to sell you something. If you buy, they hang up the phone and holler, whoopee, got a sale from that well-off older person. But some of you don't buy from telemarketers, so they have a name for you, and it's poopies, P-O-O-P-I-E-S. Because they're really upset that you didn't buy. It stands for poorly off underpaid professionals. Or poorly off older persons. I'm sorry, poorly off older persons. Some of you call yourself puppies, P-U-P-P-I-E-S. Poorly underpaid professionals. You felt that way when your boss gave you your paycheck. Now your goal when you retire, if you already have, you're supposed to be called OPALS, O-P-A-L-S, older person, active lifestyle. Because we can never find you because you're always out running around doing something. I had Roger worried because I just came back from 2 weeks in Florida and he wanted to make sure I got back in time. The last time I was supposed to speak, we had a blizzard and he didn't know what was to expect this time, right? Okay, Andrew, want to give me my first slide? Okay, what we want to do, we want to talk today about scams, fraud, and things pulled on you as senior citizens trying to cheat you out of your hard-earned money that you made during your working lifetime. We want to talk about the tactics that these people use in trying to cheat you out of the money that you've earned. We want you to become aware of some of the sales pitches and the approaches that people work on trying to, again, take some of that hard-earned money away from you. Then I want to tell you where to get help. Throughout my little lecture this morning, I'm going to give you some phone numbers. I'm going to give you some titles, some names, some addresses, where to get help. Now, I don't want you to take what I'm saying as gospel, that I'm telling you the truth. I want you to check out what I'm saying. So to help you out, we have, when you leave today, at the back doors, right, Roger? There'll be a handout, a two-page handout printed on both sides of a list of references. So if you want to go to the library or go to the internet and check out what I'm telling you, I've got names, addresses, phone numbers, magazine articles, all listed there. So if you want to check out the stuff that I present to you today, it's all listed. So if you want to find a little bit more information about it. If you're totally confused over something, my name's in the church directory, give me a call. I'll be happy to answer your questions after the class. You know, if something puzzles you or you want to follow up on something, feel free to give me a call. I'm in the church directory. We're going to talk a little bit about the internet, the World Wide Web, where you can, if you're computer literate, where you can get help off the internet. It's also on the handout that you're going to get some website that you want to know about. So we're going to look at that. Why do crooks pick on you? Number one, you have more money than any other age group. If we take the 20 to 30s or the 30 to 40s or the 40 to 50s or the people over 60, you have more money than any other age group. That's why the crooks love to pick on you. Second reason they like to pick on you is you have very little professional experience with fraud and crooks and criminals. Now, my son, he's a policeman, so he has a lot of experience with crooks and criminals. And when I worked for Social Security, one of the jobs I had when I worked for Social Security was fraud. I had to deal with Social Security fraud and issues like this, and I worked with Secret Service and other federal law enforcement agencies in pursuing various Social Security fraud issues. Another thing is, on the internet, you folks, believe it or not, spend more money on the internet than any other age group. You're buying it off. You watch these TV shows that sell stuff. Now you're buying stuff off eBay and things like this. So senior citizens spend about 19% more than any other age group on buying stuff on the internet. Another reason why crooks love to pick on you is you are a lousy witness in court. When they put you up on the stand to say, "Ma'am, was this the man who came to your door to sell you that no-good vacuum cleaner? Well, let me check my glasses. They're not doing too well today. My hearing aid's acting up. What did you say? Would you repeat that?" The defense attorneys love to get a senior citizen up on the court because they can just make you look bad. You got hearing problems, you got vision problems, you got memory problems, so you're a lousy witness in court. Another reason why they pick on you is something called pride. You're too proud to tell your family, your friends, or the police that somebody cheated you out of money. And you won't go and tell anybody about it. You got to swallow your pride, because if you don't tell the local law enforcement people how you got cheated by some con artist, that con artist is going to continue to pick on people in the greater Dayton area. So if you get taken, you've got to report it to the appropriate authorities so they can try to catch this individual or individuals so they don't do anything else. I want to start with three common scams that have been around for years and years and years and years. One of them is the carpet cleaning scam. Now, there are very many legitimate firms that will come to your home and scrub the carpet in your home and do a very good job. But there's a small minority of these who are actually thieves. And what they want to do is they have two methods of cheating you. Method number one, they advertise it very cheap. "We'll clean your whole house for $50, all 15 rooms. Or all five rooms, or whatever it is. They'll clean it real cheap. Then when they get there, they come up with all sorts of excuses why they can't honor the advertised price. And all of a sudden, that $50 carpet cleaning becomes a $500 carpet cleaning, and they want cash, no checks, no credit cards. And so they'll try to scam you by low-balling you with a very low price. Then when you get in, they get into your house, they say, "Oh, this stain's real bad, this carpet's too old," and they try to cheat you out of it. Another one that they do is they try to rob you, literally, while you're not looking. While they're scrubbing the carpet in your bedroom, they go over to your jewelry box, disconnect the vacuum cleaner of the carpet, and vacuum up all the jewelry out of your jewelry box. And they have a special little tray in the vacuum system out in their truck that catches all that jewelry. And you don't notice it until 2 weeks later when you go look for your cufflinks or your necklace or your ring or something and it's missing. And they cleaned the carpet 2 weeks ago and you can't figure out what happened to it. Quite often they'll have these huge systems where they have the machine outside in the truck and the long hose that comes into the house. Well, that machine has a little tray that catches all the jewelry. And when they go out and dump the water and stuff, they dump the jewelry in a little box. But they quite often will use two people. They'll have two people cleaning your carpet. One who will be cleaning an area. The other person's job is to keep you busy while they're back rifling your purse. Another little trick that they do, they'll take your checkbook. They'll find your checkbook, and they'll tear out the last check. Not the first check, the last check, because you don't miss that. And then they'll find some document in your house that has your signature on it, then they'll go and forge something on that check and go out and cash the check. And you won't notice it because you're on check number, you know, 563 and they took check number 615 and you haven't got there yet. So you won't notice, and you will when your bank account bounces. So you've got to think about that. So whenever you have carpet cleaners coming around your house, you want to check them out. Have your friends used them? Are they reputable? Go to the Better Business Bureau in Dayton. Check them out to see what kind of business they have. Another one, charities. You are a number one victim of charity fraud. They sell what they is called in the trade sucker lists. These are people who give to charity. If you give to one charity through a phone call or through a mail solicitation or something like this, they take your name and they sell it to other charities or people who call themselves charities. What you want to find out before you give any money to a group is how do they spend their money. You want to ask for their policy statement. There's a form there all charities are required to file with Internal Revenue, and it's called an IRS Form 990. That's a list of all, once a year they have to file it with IRS, of all the money they collected that year, and what happened to all the money. How much of it went out in advertisement, how much of it went out in salaries, how much of it went out in the actual charity. What you'll discover, many charities, that 80% of the money they collect goes for fundraising. That sometimes only 5 or 10% of the money that they collect actually goes to the cause that they're raising money for. It goes to pay for high salaries and overhead and equipment and fancy cars and trips and stuff for the charitable organization, not to the actual charity. So you want to be very careful on looking at charities. There's three different websites. CharityWatchList.org is a good, if you want to check out a charity, if you go to that website, CharityWatchList.org, it's a good website to find out if this is a legitimate charity. This website actually takes all the various charities and sends them a report and asks them to fill out questionnaires to find out what do they do with the money and what percent of the money actually goes to the cause. Now, a lot of these charities will be quasi-religious based, or they'll use religious terminology in their literature and stuff like this because of your Christian background and things like this. They'll do that. So you've got to be very careful when you're trying to decide worthwhile donations. Again, check them out. And keep in mind, if you get a lot of solicitations in the mail to donate to various causes and things like this, it's because you may be on one of these sucker lists. And the problem is, once you get on, it's hard to get off. We'll talk about getting off some of these lists a little later on. Contest winners. How many of you get a phone call or an email that you won a contest? And you get those envelopes saying you're a contest winner. Then when you read the fine print, you really didn't win anything. Or if you did, it's only worth a few cents or a few dollars. I was watching one this morning on television where they were offering $1,000 if you participated in this timeshare program. $1,000 worth of prizes if you participated in this timeshare program. And that was your big winning. Well, what it is, it's a bunch of cheap little toys and giveaways that they mark up, you know, 400 or 500 times. They'll say that we have this television worth $150 we're going to give you. Well, it's a $9 little black and white TV set about 5 inches square. But it has a theoretical value of you know, $150. Or they got a digital camera for you. It happens to be 1 megapixel, okay, which isn't much. It's like what's in your little camera on your cell phone. But they claim it's a $300 camera or something like this. But it's really a $2 throwaway that, you know, they made in that unnamed country that Roger was referring to. The other thing about contests, if you truly win a contest, you are never required to put money up front. Many phony contests want you to send money up front to pay your taxes on the prize that you won or to pay for the handling fees. If you should never, ever be required on any legitimate contest to send them money. So if you get anything that's asking for you to send them money and they're claiming that you won a contest, the odds are it's probably a fraud. But these types of cons have been around a long time. I've got a new category of fraud. I call it economic fraud. And these are relatively new, meaning in the last 10 or 15 years, these have been coming around. And the things that I want to talk about this morning a little bit are annuities. Now, I know some of you have purchased annuities. Not all annuities are bad. But there are many lousy annuities out there, and I'll explain in a few minutes what I mean by a lousy annuity. Do any of you get flyers offering you a free dinner or a free lunch if you come sit through their presentation? There's nothing free in life. There's a catch. And those people who are giving you, inviting you to those lunches, they are selling something. They may not sell it at that luncheon, but they may come to your house after the luncheon and try to sell it to you at home. We're going to talk a little about some of those luncheons. Then for those of you who like to play the stock market, there's a lot of people on the telephone who like to call you up and give you the hot tip of the stock market. And I'll tell you how that operates. Then insurance products. Everybody in certain times of life needs certain types of insurance. And we want to talk to you about some of the insurance products that are being sold or being sold to seniors where they really don't need it. And another one I want to talk about is reverse mortgages. There's a lot of commercials on TV about reverse mortgages, but they don't tell you the downside with reverse mortgages. Well, I'm going to tell you the downside with reverse mortgages as we go along. So let's start with annuities, and let's start looking at the annuities. And the first thing we want to talk about is there are some positive benefits of annuities. There's some tax benefits. If you have a windfall of money and you want to have it earn money and pay no taxes while it's earning money, an annuity is not a bad way to put some money in an investment and earn money and pay no taxes until you sell it. So there is a good point there. Another good point of annuities is there's an insurance aspect of annuity, that your principal is usually guaranteed, or certain parts of your investment is guaranteed, like a payment guaranteed for life or something like this. Because when you buy an annuity, you are buying some sort of insurance from the company that's selling the annuity that guarantees that they're going to keep their promises to you. What they don't tell you when you buy annuities is the downside. Number one, the fees and the commissions are very high. Of products sold by investments, people who sell investments, like stocks and bonds and mutual funds and annuities, the one that makes the highest commission for the salesman is annuities. Now, I held an insurance license for 7 years, and the company that I worked for did sell annuities, as well as life insurance and health insurance and disability insurance. But I never sold annuities because I didn't believe in them. And the products that they were selling had very high commission. If I sold annuities, I would have made a lot of money. A typical commission on annuity is about 10%. A typical commission on a stock sale or mutual fund sale is about 4 or 5%. Could be more, could be less. But annuities pay the biggest commission. So that's why they love to sell annuities. The other thing, the ongoing cost, every single year when you own an annuity, the annuity company charges you a fee. The industrial average is about 3% of the value of your account every year. But if you have an IRA and it's managed by a brokerage house or something, they're only charging you anywhere from 1% to 1.5% to manage your IRA. But if you put your IRA in an annuity, they're going to charge you 3% a year. My wife mistakenly bought an annuity before we were smarter a number of years ago, and she was paying 5% annual fees. Now, we quickly got out of that one when we discovered what it was costing. But nowhere in the presentation by the sales representative did he tell us what the annual fees were. It was buried in the fine print, the mouse print, as they often say. The other problem with annuities is withdrawal penalties. If you change your mind and want your money back, they have very, very severe penalties. One of my clients out in South Dakota had asked me to look at annuity, and they had 15 years worth of penalties, meaning if they changed their mind in the first year, they lost 75% of the money. And the second year, 60%. And the third year, 55%. And it dropped like 5% a year over 15 years. So they had to wait 15 years to withdraw to get their money back. Some of you don't have 15 years. Okay? And so you've got to know about withdrawal penalties and stuff like this. I don't want you to take my word that annuities are not a good deal. Go to the public library. There's a book there called Reader's Guide for Periodicals. It's a list of every magazine article ever written in the world. Go to that book and look up 5 different magazine articles written on annuities. But the article should not be written by an insurance company or insurance representative. And I can guarantee you that 95% of all the articles that you read on annuities say stay away from them. They're not a good deal. If you've got some money to invest, there's a lot of other safer ways to invest your money than annuities. If you ended up getting stuck with a bad annuity and you fell victim to one of these high-pressure salesmen at one of these luncheons or something and bought an annuity that really isn't a good deal, then you want to get a hold of the insurance commissioner of Columbus, Ohio, report the salesman, report the company, and see if you can get your money back. Quite often, the insurance commissioner can go to that company and get your money back without any penalties. No guarantee, but quite often, they're successful in getting your money back. So annuities, got to watch that. So look at the surrender charge. Find out what the surrender charges are. You can often avoid the surrender charge penalties if you take 10% of the principal out each year over 10 years. And again, complain to the commissioner. You might be able to get around that if you go to the insurance commissioner of Columbus, Ohio. In this handout I give you his address, I think, and phone number in the handout that I have at the end of the day. Next. Free lunches and free dinners. Okay. Like I said, there's no such thing as a free lunch. These people are spending good money to buy you a nice meal at a nice restaurant, and they're costing them anywhere from $10 to $30 a head to buy that dinner. So they're selling something. They might not sell it at the luncheon, but they'll get your name, they'll get your address, they'll get your phone number, and they'll call you up afterwards to arrange for you to come into their office, preferably to come to your home, where they'll try to put you in under some sort of high-pressure sales to try to sell you something. And they usually only need to make, out of a dinner where they have 20 people there, they usually only have to make about 2 sales, and they'll make enough profit on those 2 sales out of those 20 people to cover the whole cost of the dinner. So they don't have to sell everybody who comes to the luncheon. Now, I have a tremendous ability to say no, so I'm not above taking a free lunch from these salespeople. Because I have a hidden agenda. When I go to these free lunches, I'm trying to find out what they're selling and what the good points and the bad points of what they're selling. I do that out of professional curiosity. When I'm not traveling, having fun or something like this, then occasionally I'll go to those just to see what the sales pitch is, just so I can keep myself abreast of the sales pitches on the free lunches. When they give you the sales pitch at these luncheons, very seldom will they tell you the downside of whatever they're selling. Or if they do, they'll mumble it, or they'll refer to the fine print, or it's discussed further on page 53 or something like this. They'll slough over the downside. They'll only talk about the good side of what they're selling. They're very weak on talking about the downside. If you go to one of these luncheons and they have a product and it seems interesting, check the organization out. Number one, check with the Better Business Bureau in Dayton. See if there's been any complaints filed against them. The check with the commissioner in Ohio, in Columbus, who handles their product. If it's an insurance product, check with the insurance commissioner. If it's a brokerage product, you know, try to find out what government agency licensed the product that they sell. Check with that agency. And free lunch programs are one of the number top 10 complaints that they get about sales pitches used in Columbus at the insurance commissioner and a couple of the other people that look into fraud. The free lunch thing is a really big complainer. They get a lot of complaints about sales pitches used at the lunch or after the luncheon by the people who put these on. Again, check it out. Better off, don't even go. Yeah, I know it's tempting to get a nice free meal. Now, if you have a tremendous ability to say no, heck, go ahead, get a free lunch off of them. But you got to have that ability to say no to them. I can do that real easy. Hot tip. Got a stock for you, Roger. Fly By Night Incorporated. Still in there. Now, here's how they do the hot tip. Those of you who invest, there's a sucker list out there of investors. And they sell this to other investors. And they have a group of people in an office someplace in the United States. And they'll call you and say, Roger, I got two good hot tips for you today. And I'd like you to invest with my company. The first one is Fly By Night Incorporated. That stock's going to double in the next week.
It sure wasn't Skybus.
No, Skybus. Yeah, that was the other one. Skybus, okay? That stock's going to double too. Then we're going to send this, we're going to make this phone call to maybe 1,000 people. And we're going to give them the same two companies. Well, statistically, one of the companies is going to go up. And the other is going to go down. It's just, then, of the 500 people who got the call that the company went up, we're going to call those 500 back. And say, remember, I told you, Fly By Night did. It went up by 10%. You didn't buy it, did you? Well, no. Okay, so you lost out on it. Now, all the people who bought Skybus, I'm not going to call them back. Or who had an interest in Skybus, because that lost. That went bankrupt Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. So we're not going to call the Skybus people back. Now, Roger still doesn't want to buy from me over the phone. He doesn't know me. So I'm going to give him two more hot tips. And now I'm down to 500 people. Then 250 people that I gave him the good tip on, because it did in fact go up. Statistically, I'm going to call those 250 people. Okay, Roger, I told you two winners in a row. Now it's time for you to buy. I got my next hot tip for you. And since I've given them two good tips in a row, I got to be legitimate. So now my sales pitch is to hit them for a lot of money. $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And I'll have him give me his checking account number so I can debit it. Or I'll have him give me his credit card number. Or I'll have him send me a check. And then I'll abscond with the money. He won't even get the stock. They just abscond with the money. And that's what they do. These are brokers. They claim to be brokers, and you've never met them. They just called you out of the blue, and that's the trick that they use on the hot tips. They'll keep calling you back with a hot tip. And once they've given you two or three or four hot tips, then they got you all wrapped up, and then they'll go with a big pitch for a lot of money. And then you'll never see it because it's all gone. Because you wrote them a check or gave them access to your bank, they withdrew it, and it's all gone. Insurance products. Let's look at some insurance products. If somebody's trying to sell you insurance, the first thing you have to say is, do you need life insurance, for example, at your age? Why do you need life insurance? Think about that. To bury you. Why? Let the kids do it. Let them pay the bill. Why leave them $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 to pay for a $5,000 or $10,000 funeral? Now, are you sure your kid's really going to use that money to pay for your funeral, or are they going to go out and buy a new car or a new boat? You just got their word that they're going to pay for your funeral. Now, Roger's a veteran. Roger, give me $20,000, I'll take care of your funeral. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call the National Cemetery over here in Dayton at VA and say, hey, would you bury Roger? They'll give Roger a free grave. He's a veteran. They'll put him over there in the National Cemetery for free. And I'll pocket the $20,000. And I took care of Roger. I gave him a real nice burial with a flag. And every Memorial Day, he'll get a flag on his grave. It didn't cost me a thing. But I got to keep the $20,000. Why do you need life insurance? You got a house to pay for. Okay, that's fine. But there's other ways. Does your honey want to keep the house? If Roger dies, does Nancy want to keep that house? Because then she'll have to mow the grass and shovel the snow that Roger does. She might want to unload the house and get a nice apartment or a condo where she doesn't have any yard maintenance. Nursing home insurance. Very popular for you folks. I have nursing home insurance. I bought nursing home insurance on myself. I bought nursing home insurance on my wife. But some of you don't need nursing home insurance. Why? Nobody in your family ever died or ever spent time in a nursing home. Your brothers, your sisters, your moms, your dads, your aunts, none of them ever spent time in a nursing home. They have illnesses that run in your family that cause you to die relatively quick and doesn't put you in a nursing home. Some of you have been blessed with good investments over your lifetime and you don't need nursing home insurance because you can afford to pay your own bill. Some of you have not been blessed with a lot of money. You don't need nursing home insurance because the state of Ohio will pay your bill because you're so poor. Medicaid will pay it. Yeah, you got a few bucks, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, but that's not going to last long. They'll take care of 3 or 4 months, and then the state of Ohio will take care of your bill. My dad was a factory worker. He never had a lot of money. My dad spent 4.5 years in a nursing home, and he went in as private pay when he had a stroke at 80. 9 months later, my dad was broke. And from 81 to 84.5 till he died, the state of Ohio paid his bill through Medicaid. He had to give his Social Security check and his pension check to the nursing home, but you don't need nursing home insurance quite often. You got to think about this. The insurance that bothers me the most that they sell a lot of senior citizens. Ever see this commercial? We promise to sell your life insurance regardless of your health. You know, regardless of your health. Well, if you get the policy and read the fine print, they won't pay for the first 2 or 3 years at all. And then in the third year, they'll pay 25%. In the fourth year, they'll pay 50%. In the fifth year, they'll pay 75%. In the sixth year, they'll pay the face value of the policy. But if you add up all the premiums during those 6 years that you paid the premiums on it, it equals the face value of the policy. So it's just a poor savings program. The other ones that they sell is indemnity plans, cancer insurance, missing leg insurance, gray hair insurance, you know. They'll insure anything. Those policies are designed not to pay off, and they're designed to make money. They very seldom pay off, and they're designed just to rip you off. They're called indemnity plans. And some of you probably bought those many, many, many years ago, and you're still paying on them. But they're designed very seldom to pay off, and they have all sorts of clauses when you read the fine print. If you can get a magnifying glass and read the fine print on these policies, it's quite interesting. That's something I discovered when I worked in the insurance industry, how to read the fine print on these products. So check if you do need insurance, and you validly need insurance, life insurance, disability insurance, homeowners insurance, or whatever it is, car insurance, check it out. Get competitive bids. Get bids from other companies. Just somebody knocks on your door and wants to sell you something, somebody calls you on the phone and wants to sell you something, don't buy from them. Check it out. Check with the Better Business Bureau to see about that agency. Check with the insurance commissioner of the state of Ohio to see if any complaints have been filed against that insurance company and how the complaints are resolved. Okay, new topic, reverse mortgages. Okay, what is a reverse mortgage? A reverse mortgage is nothing more than a loan. Somebody's going to loan you money against the equity in your house. But you must pay the loan off at the end of the time or at the time you die. You've got to pay the loan off, plus you've got to pay interest. They're going to give you a monthly check from now until you die or for so many years, or they're going to be a lump sum amount of money. But all you're doing is taking a loan against the house. They'll typically only loan you 60% of the value of the house. That's about the maximum what they'll loan you, because they want the other 40% to cover the interest. So if you don't live that long and you die 1 year later, they get then the family has to sell off the house and pay off the loan plus all the interest that accumulated over all those years. Another thing, they charge very high fees, typically 4% of the value of your house. So if you have a $100,000 house, you're going to have to put up front $4,000 in fees to get the reverse mortgage. So if you live in a $200,000 house, you're going to have to put up $8,000 in fees up front just to get the mortgage, the reverse mortgage approved. You're supposed to get a counseling session that's supposed to tell you all the downsides with reverse mortgages. But the industry as a whole does a very poor job of explaining the downsides with reverse mortgages. For example, your house has to be in A1 shape. They will inspect your house, and if you don't need a roof or you need plumbing or you need wiring repair, you're going to have to put the roof in, you're going to have to fix the wiring, you're going to have to fix the plumbing. That house has to be in A1 shape, and you got to pay to get it back in shape. And during the time that you're living in the house, you have to maintain the house. If you get a leak, you got to get it fixed. If the roof needs replaced, you got to get it fixed. You have to maintain the house. They don't maintain it for you. You have to do all this during this period of time. Generally speaking, if you go to the library, go to Reader's Guide for Periodical, look up reverse mortgages, You'll read more bad articles about reverse mortgages than good articles about reverse mortgages. There's other ways to solve your financial problems if you've got some money problems other than reverse mortgage. That's going to be an area of last resort. Death scams. Funerals. We're going to look at funerals, medical issues, credit cards, and package delivery. What I want you to think about funerals, they want to pick on you. Don't put too much information in your obituary when your husband or wife dies. Because burglars love to break into houses on the day of the funeral. So if you have your address and your kids' address, they're going to hit your house and your kids' houses and your grandkids' houses and rob them while the funeral service is going on. So you want to be very, very sketchy on the amount of information you give on obituaries. The cost of the funeral. Funeral homes love to take advantage of your grief. You lost your husband, you lost your wife. Don't you want nothing but the best for your sweetheart? We got this wonderful gold-plated imitation plywood casket, or imitation gold plywood casket, that we're going to sell you for a ridiculous amount of money. And if you go on the internet, you can find out what it really costs to buy a casket and what it really costs for a funeral. You want to ask for detailed itemized pricing when you get a bid from a funeral director. And you want to go to two or three funeral directors to get competitive bids on funerals. It's a very competitive industry. Just don't necessarily go to the first one. And they have all kinds of weird things that they add on. They can have 800 numbers. They can have websites and all sorts of things as part of the funeral package these days. So you got to think, how much money do you want to spend on a funeral? Medical issues. When your family gets bills after you die, they got to check them over very carefully. Because some people in the medical profession will bill for services not rendered. They'll bill for services rendered after death. If you were in the hospital before you died, did the family's got to know what medicine did you take while you're in the hospital. They'll bill you for pills that they never gave you. So when I worked with the senior citizens in medical bills in one of my jobs, I found many, many instances of false billing after the person died. So if you're helping a friend whose husband died or wife died, you want to check those bills over that come to the house after the deceased to make sure they're valid, legitimate bills. The other one they do, they love to pick on the family member. They try to get the kids and grandkids. You're responsible for your mother's bills, Roger. You got to pay them all. No, he's not. Your children and grandchildren are not responsible for any of your medical bills when you die. The only people, husbands and wives, have joint responsibility. Or if one of your kids signed a statement when they admitted you to the hospital, I will pay my mom's bills, but they shouldn't do that. Okay? So you've got to keep that in mind. Another thing that they do on death issues is credit card applications. People will find out that somebody died, and then they'll go and get a copy of their death certificate, then they'll get a copy of the birth certificate, and they'll file a credit card application in the deceased name. And then they'll go out and charge all sorts of things up and then not pay them. And then all of a sudden the estate gets a bill for these huge credit cards run up in the name of the deceased and for charges made after death. Very common new application. Another one they do, post-deliveries. They'll send packages to the home in the name of the deceased. Very expensive items. And they'll say, oh, your husband ordered this wonderful sewing machine for you for your wedding anniversary. I'm sorry he died. Oh, he got that for me. I better pay for it. It's cash on delivery. So, and it's a $4,000 machine that really only costs $25. You know, and they'll send packages. Another one they'll do, they'll set up magazine subscriptions in the name of the deceased. Oh, your husband ordered that magazine. Your wife ordered that magazine. Oh, well, then I better pay for it. They didn't order it. They just saw it in the obituary, and they use that as a way to put a false order out. Solutions, Andrew. Okay. I'm going to put up, just round them up, Andrew. This is some addresses and phone numbers of where you can get help. The government offers a free guide on funeral and death issues. There's a book out called Caring for the Dead about an inch and a half thick, giving all kinds of rules in all the states on what the funeral rules are and what the death rules are in every state in the United States. I have a copy in my library at home. AARP gives out a very good free pamphlet on funerals. Medical schools, if you want a free funeral, donate your body to medical school. Now, medical schools are picky. They won't take any old body. They want a unique body. So what do you offer that medical school for them to give you a free funeral? If you want a cheap funeral, join a funeral society for $25. They can get you in contact with the funeral homes and the crematoriums that will give you that really El Cheapo funeral if you don't want to spend a lot of money on your funeral. Definitely pre-plan your funeral. Don't prepay it. That's the latest advice. Don't prepay your funeral. Put the money aside someplace where the family can get at it to prepay your funeral, but don't give it to the funeral home. Many of the funeral homes today are owned by three large corporations. Two of the corporations are in financial trouble. And if those corporations go bankrupt, all the prepaid funerals are worthless. Okay? But they still maintain the local name, but they're owned by major corporations. Next one, Andrew. Government services, okay? There are people who pretend to be government employees. They send you mail that looks like government mail. There are people who knock on your door who imply they're government employees. And they're nothing but people trying to scam you. Next one, Andrew. ID fraud. This is the latest thing. They're trying to steal your identification. And by when you die or somebody in your family dies, report it to the driver's license people. Report it to the credit card people so they can cancel all credit cards. They can cancel the driver's license so nobody can open up any false identification in your deceased husband or deceased wife's name or something like this. You've got to report those deaths. Magazine subscriptions. There's a lot of kids going around during the summer who claim to be selling magazine subscriptions for scholarships and to earn their way through college, and they're usually overpriced, and quite often they're never delivered, and quite often they want cash in order to pay for the magazines. Be very suspicious of those. Product demonstrations. There are people who go to door-to-door to sell you vacuum cleaners and all sorts of things. Quite often, they're overly priced items, and they use a lot of high-pressure sales, and they love to sell to senior citizens because you're so nice and sweet and they hate to say no to anybody. Roger and I go round and round on this one. Jump the timeshares, Andrew. Timeshares are wonderful if you use them. Roger uses his faithfully. But if you don't use timeshares, you've wasted your money. They're very expensive to buy because they're very, very high commission. The people who sell them make tons of money. And if you really like timeshares, buy them on the used timeshare market. But if you buy a timeshare, you've got to use it. If you don't use it, you've wasted your money. Okay, strangers knocking at your door. Okay, there are a lot of people who will knock at your door, their car broke down, they want to use your phone. No, they want to get in the house and rob you. Okay, if the car broke down, say, I'll call a 911 for you. I'll call AAA for you, you know, but don't let them in your house. If you send them to the nearest convenience store or the grocery store where there's a public payphone or something like this, don't let them in your house. Now, I'm going to put 10 questions up. I'm going to leave these up. Whenever you're dealing with anybody and you don't know what to do, these are the 10 questions you want to ask. You want to ask these questions to yourself and of these people. How did they get their name? How did you get my name? What are all the risks involved? I want to read it in writing. Okay. I want to discuss it with my son or my daughter or my husband or my wife or my friend or my government worker. If they claim to be representing a government agency, go to the blue pages of the phone book after they leave. Call that agency. I used to get a lot of calls at Social Security. People were pretending to be from Medicare or Social Security, and they weren't. And they were insurance salesmen trying to sell medical insurance. And they'd call me and say, do you know Joe Blow? No, Joe Blow doesn't work for us. Then I'd report to the fraud people, and they would track down Joe Blow and get him to cease pretending to be government employees. How long they've been in business, you know, what kind of commissions they pay, can you change your mind, what's the cancellation policies? You want to ask these questions when people are trying to sell you something.